when you travel to another country, or when people from other countries come to this country, there are a couple of types of visas that you can get. Some of you probably know this. One is what we call a tourist visa. You go to a foreign country and you're on vacation, you're soaking up the sun, you're spending money, taking it easy, just coasting along for a few days, for a couple of weeks, until your cash runs out. That's the way most people travel these days. However, there are other types of visas that you can get that are of a completely different type of relationship with the country that you're visiting. And one of those is called a work visa. In this country, we call it a green card. Having a green card means that you're not there to soak up the sun. You're there to work. To work. The Bible tells us that this world is not our home. That we're in a foreign land. We're abroad, so to say. That we're actually just passing through. In fact, Jesus says in John 15, 19, that you and I don't belong to the world. And for that reason, he adds, is because I have chosen you out of the world. That makes us aliens and strangers in this world. In the world, but not of the world, we often say. Citizens of another kingdom. Therefore, we need a visa in our world, so to say. And here's what I've noticed. Many people live their Christian life like they're in this world on a tourist visa. On a tourist visa. We want to make this life as much like a vacation as we possibly can. Are you guilty? I am. I am. Primary goal, simply to coast along and enjoy the visit, you know, take the world as it comes. And, you know, we have all sorts of sayings which go along with that. They used to, you know, the saying, you only go around once kind of thing, you know, where this world is my oyster, whatever that means. You may not like oysters, you know. But anyhow, those kind of sayings, that's all about that. Enjoy the world. Just it's it. Just make the most of it. A few weeks ago, if you remember, maybe it's been a little over a month, so you may not remember, I talked about how Christians, you and I, have been pre-approved by God. As Paul told the Ephesians, it came out of Ephesians 1, verse 3, chapter 1, verse 3. And Paul was telling the Ephesians that we are God's children. We are chosen by God. We are adopted into his family. Already blessed with every heavenly blessing. Precharged, so to say. Already set up to be, in his words, holy and blameless in his sight. Pre-approved. But here's what I want you to see. You and I are not here on that tourist visa. We're not pre-approved for a tourist visa. We're here on a work visa. We've been given a green card, and it's been stamped for approval to go to work in God's kingdom. Now, I know that may be bad news. I mean, it's not, we're in church, so it's not all bad. But some of us don't like to hear that we're here on a work visa. We're here to begin to live our life as a child of God. And that isn't a vacation only. Oh, it has many blessings. But it's a work visa. The common emphasis in the Christian teaching today focuses on what God can do for us. What benefits will God give me? Sermons are written, books are written about the benefits of the Christian life. Everything you are entitled to receive when you give your life to Christ. And indeed, there are great blessings. It's a valid emphasis. Because the simple truth is that God gives us so much more than we could ever give in return, so much more than we could ever deserve or ever even expect. He gives us a right relationship with himself. But we make a big mistake when we don't emphasize the responsibility that comes with knowing Christ. The responsibility. Talking only about what you get from God. Talking about what you can receive from Him. And not about what you give. Talking about all of those gets. Talk about all those receivings. It sets up what we commonly call an entitlement mindset. God will bless me just because. Just because He's God. That's what God does, right? I heard that just this past week. An entitlement mindset will lead to a tourist vision mentality. So how do we avoid taking God's grace for granted? How do we keep focused on the fact that we are in this world but not of it? How do we live in this world as those approved by God, or those who are here on a work visa, a green card? That's precisely what Paul was teaching Timothy. That's exactly what Paul was urging onto this young protege of his. And he was preparing him for all sorts of encouragement and practical advice, because he knew he faced a lot of obstacles, just like you and I. He knew he lived in a world that was anti-God, or certainly anti the one true God. So how was Timothy going to stand? How was he going to be the light and truth among God's people and in his world, so that he could be his best? Well, look at what Paul first tells Timothy. He says, you know, I want you to live your life worthy of one approved. Now, those are my words, but that's what he's saying. You know, Paul said it all over the place in his letters. Paul's a great guy. He has a lot of nice stuff to say. In his letter to the Ephesians, he said, I urge you. A lot of power behind that word. I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Ephesians 4:1. Another way to say it is work to be worthy of the gifts you've been given. God doesn't call us to do more than we can do, but He calls us to do all we can do. I want to make it clear that you and I will never be worthy of all that God has given us. He gives us so much more than we could ever possibly deserve. You can't earn His favor. We're not talking about work that earns His favor. We're talking about work that responds to His love and grace and mercy. You can only receive His favor. So Paul didn't say to Timothy, do your best to earn God's approval. Instead, he said in verse 15, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. He's saying you've already been pre-approved. Now make every effort to live up to it. Everything we do in the Christian life, everything we do is not done in order to gain God's favor. It's done in response to God's favor. I read a story about a young man who had a difficult childhood and was telling his story. After he was abandoned by his birth parents and spent a lot of years in children's homes and back and forth and back and forth, foster care, when he was about 10 years old, he was finally adopted by a wonderful family. And he made the comment, when this happened, I had no idea how my life would change. Here I was, this troubled kid, and then just like that, I was a Landers. I was part of this incredible family. My new brothers were star football players. Everybody knew who they were. I would go places with my dad, and I would see people treat him with such respect, and people would treat me differently, knowing that I was his son. I began to realize in my teenage years that by making me a part of this family, God had given me a name to live up to. And I decided that I wanted to live my life becoming worthy of the lander's name. He had already been given the name. Now he had to live up to it. He wanted to live up to it. That's what Paul's telling Timothy to do. And it's what he's saying to us to do. We've been already brought into the family. We already have that family identification. We're already a part of the family of God. We've been given his name. Now do your best, Paul says, to walk in a manner worthy of the name you received. That's what he's saying. Live your life worthy of one approved. A second piece that Paul gives us in this verse is strive to make a difference for God's kingdom. In other words, we got work to do. Sometimes I wonder about that. Sometimes I wonder about myself. Because you look back and you take a little inventory. Okay, what have I done? Where have I been? You know, two parts to what Paul's saying here. And first, Paul says, we have to get in the game, you know? You have to get in the game before the whistle blows at the end. You have to sort of start at the beginning. And the game is already happening. And we have to get into that game. God's game. Do your best to present yourself. Get in the game. Present yourself to God. How many times do we turn around and say, well, nobody asked me? Or no one told me what to do? And we look around our community and in our church and we see lots of places that need and lots of things that need to be done. There's no shortage of needs. There's no shortage of work to do. Both of a spiritual nature, as teacher, prayer warrior, evangelist, you know, somebody to share the gospel, caregiver, lots of needs, spiritual and physical. Fix up, clean up, serving, or combinations of both, which is usually the case. Someone needs to get involved, and someone, Paul says, is you and me. You and me. There are no sidelines in the kingdom. There are no second team or third team in the kingdom. Every believer is first team, chosen and called to work in the kingdom. Do your best, he says. Do your best. All you can do to present yourself. To present yourself to God. Barclay translates this verse. He says, put out every effort to present yourself to God. Words were typically used to in the context of show up, in the sense of showing up for work or reporting for duty in a military context. So Paul's saying, show up for work. And then he goes on and he follows, as a worker who has no need to be ashamed. Ashamed of what? Well, I guess the first thing, ashamed of not showing up. Ask yourself, what am I involved in for the kingdom of God? What am I involved in for the kingdom of God? And then ask yourself, what am I doing when I show up? You see, when we're not contributing, we're usually dropping out. Or we're sitting in the shadows because of what? We're ashamed. We're ashamed. It's just that simple. Paul's challenge is be a worker who has no need to be ashamed. The conscience doesn't prick us. The conscience doesn't challenge us because I didn't do it or whatever. I didn't show up. Be a worker who has no need to be ashamed. Seek to do good work. Make an effort to look around and see what needs to be done. What God would have going on that maybe you could be involved in, that maybe you have a gift for. What abilities, what gifts has God given me? You often can't control the results of your efforts, but you sure can control the effort itself. Sometimes we give up before we even start. You can control how much of yourself you put into the Christian life. You see what I'm saying? How much effort you put into relationships. How much effort you put into serving others. Paul says, report for duty and do it in such a way, do it in such a way that you won't be ashamed. Use the gifts, the talents that God has given you. Do your best. Do your best. Paul said to the Philippians, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed. Paul's talking about himself. I eagerly expect and hope that I in no way will be ashamed. You see, he's doing his best. He's trying. He's striving. But I will have sufficient courage, so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body. Now, he wasn't talking about how he looked. He was talking about what he does. It's all about actions. It's all about effort. It's not about how spiritual he was. It's in my body. What he did. How he presented himself. You and I are approved by God to serve in his kingdom. To do all we can to bring glory to his name. To love and serve other people. To proclaim with our life, with our words, with our lifestyle, our words, everything, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ. We live in a world that's dying. We live in a country that's dying. We live in a city that has untold amounts of needs. I could pick any city in the country probably, but home is here, right? So don't say we don't have work to do. Don't say there's not something that God would want us to be doing. Oh, yeah. God would want this place to be filled. And it's not going to be filled by ringing the bell. It's going to be filled by going out and bringing them in. Friends, sharing. What relationships do we have? That's what we're talking about. Work. Strive to make a difference for God's kingdom. Here's a third one. You know, I always do three or four or five, but three mostly. It's all I can remember. Anchor yourselves completely in God's word. Here's what Paul said. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. In other words, know God's word, study God's word, and live according to God's word. That's what it's talking about. That's why we preach. That's why we teach. That's why we go to Sunday school. That's why we go to Bible studies. That's why we would have a daily devotion or memorize a Bible verse. So you can know what God says to us in his word and have some idea of the context of where it came from so that you can apply it. If you don't know it, you can't apply it. If you don't have the context of it, you can't really apply it. You might remember the little story that often gets told about the fellow whose Bible wisdom was considered simply of opening the book and sticking his finger down and reading the verse. And that was God's will for him to read. So he opened the Bible up, and there it was, Matthew 27:5, and it said, you know, Judas hanged himself. Oh, well, that's certainly not for me, right? So I'm going to do it again, and I'll roll it again, and I'll stick my finger down. The Bible verse fell on John 13:27. What you're about to do, do quickly. You see, if you don't know the context, if you don't know the Word of God, you can't live the Word of God. You certainly can't share the Word of God. Even if you know it only in a general sense, you know, that's better than not knowing it at all. But it's often a weakness that you'll fall short. And if you only know it in a general sense, you're going to fall for almost anything. You can declare almost anything out of context. You really can. And we live in a world, think about it, we live in a world that's doing just that all around us. Pray for them. The devil's got them, that's all. And Paul's challenging us, though, as he was Timothy, to do our best to rightly, correctly handle the word of truth. Nowhere does he say redefine. Nowhere does he say reinterpret or edit or modify. Indeed, he says don't modify it. You know, that's become the popular way to approach God's word these days. We want to make it relevant rather than letting the word of God say what it says. And there is a wrong. There is a wrong. If it says give and it shall be given, that's exactly what it means. Exactly what it means. If it says God so loved the world, then that's true. That's what God means. If it says go and sin no more, that's exactly what it means. We say, well, you know, everybody sins, everybody does, you know, and God doesn't mean for me to give everything, you know, give and it shall be given. Well, I'll trickle out a little bit here and there, you know, but don't ask for too much. I got things to do, bills to pay. You see, truth doesn't change. Contrary to the axiom of our world today, truth does not change. It's always truth. We may not understand it correctly, and that's the right side of that discussion to be on, but it's always the truth. And the more time you spend in God's Word, the less likely you are going to live the Christian life like a tourist. And that's what we want to avoid. That entitlement-driven, I'll coast my way through life mentality. So anchor yourself completely in God's Word. Abraham Lincoln said something once that I liked. He said, you have to do your own growing, no matter how tall your grandfather was. Think about it. You have to do your own growing, no matter how tall your grandfather was. It's our responsibility. Mine, yours. God's grace is free. The free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's everywhere. We know that. And He has called us. He's called you, called me. We know that. He's chosen us, approved us to be adopted into His family. As you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you belong to Him. You belong to Him. And He gives you His name, Christian. His name, spelled out in many places in Scripture. When Simon becomes Peter, you know, names actually change, literally. But we all change. He gives us our name. He gives us a new banner to live under. And He makes us a part of His kingdom. A kingdom that is not of this world, but for a time is in this world. But we don't have a tourist visa. God has given us a work visa, a green card for His kingdom. And He wants us to put it to use. He really does. Paul said in Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. You know, that verse is right there. Right following, for by grace you are saved, by faith, lest any man should boast, because you don't earn it at all. But following that verse, right following right on its heels, But you are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. I always translate that word good to help myself, to do God works. Because it goes on and says, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. God has a work for you and me and this church. A work far greater than what we are doing. And I could probably say that if we were the most dynamic on fire church in the valley. I could still say that probably. Because we'll never really achieve that ultimate, penultimate goal. But oh, do we need to strive with more urgency? With more urgency. Because His Word needs to go out. His way needs to be taught. And we're the teachers. We're the doers. We're the workers that He has challenged for that task. As He told Timothy, He tells us, live your life worthy of one approved. Strive to make a difference for His kingdom. Anchor yourself completely in His Word. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father,